Hey, what's up, guys? That's right, Nerd Soul here. Get ready for the podcast, breaking down what happened in your week of geek. Doesn't matter if it's movies, comic books, TV shows, we're going to get right into it. So I ain't going to waste your time. Let's do this. Today, oh yeah, we're about to get into another wonderful episode of Thumbnails. We're going to start off this week just right, and we just got a little bit to celebrate with Sonic the Hedgehog. The video game Sonic Mania is coming out. People are loving it. They're all psyched and happy and super elated about it. But a very, very cool thing about this is that they decided to give us an animated intro. And Sega, thank you. Oh, thank you. This is good. The intro shows Sonic, shows Knuckles, shows Tails. They're all together in kind of the lineage of Sonic the Hedgehog that we all know and love. And it's capped off with some awesome music, kind of like this. Like, that music is very, very Sonic the Hedgehog. And I just love the colors in this. Now, I know they're kind of just lending from the colors from the game, but this is so vibrant, and so there's so many punches of color in this, and it just makes it fun. It makes the atmosphere look alive and animated in a very good way. And speaking of the animation and how animated it looks, it has the perfect quality of sort of your Saturday morning cartoon, but it is so engaging. Like, you want to watch more. Like, when it ends, you're like, hold up, that's it? There's no more? You're making some more, right? Which leads me to why I brought up this topic. Yo, Sega, we need a series that looks like this. Like, straight up, guys, holla at me, I'ma holla at you. Down in the comments, we need to figure out a way to get Sega to turn this into an animated series. That's pretty much why I brought up this topic. We need to figure out a way. Let's all get together, tweet at Sega something. It could be like Voltron on Netflix. We get a Netflix series, maybe 10 episodes of Sonic just doing cool stuff with Knuckles and Tails, just climbing and flying. That's what I got for you. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Sega, make it. Next up is some good news and some bad news. Transformers has just announced from Hasbro that they're gonna bring back the animated feature. And everybody rejoice. But there's a caveat. See, there's gonna be a new animation each and every year. That's the plan that they got Hasbro is coming with, and it's gonna be super duper fly, right? Well, not exactly, because this is gonna be tied to something that you might not like. But before we get to the stuff that we might not like, let's talk about what we do like. And you can find me on Black Hollywood Live. That's right, the first online network for African Americans, extremely dope. And you can find it on blackhollywoodlive.com. Celebrity interviews, after shows, sports talk, geek, nerd, tech, the whole shebang at youtube.com/blackhollywoodlive. Now, I know you have a sneaking suspicion that why would Michael be feeling like this about Transformers? Because he loves Transformers. You know, you got the 1986 movie. Everybody loved it. The G1 series was great. Even Beast Wars was on point. Stuff like that. How the Transformers comic book was on point. What could be wrong? Well, these animated features that they're coming with are going to be set in the Michael Bay storyline, or Michael Bay lore, or Michael Bay timeline. And that's what worries me. It's not that Michael Bay's movies haven't been visually stunning. It's not that Michael Bay's movies haven't been entertaining on a certain level. But the actual structure of the films, I mean, they haven't been really knocking it out of the park. And I think the lukewarm or lackluster critical reception might kind of allude to that. But I'm not all out on this one. I still think that the animated feature will allow them to explore things without having Michael Bay's hand directly on it and still give us the Transformers that we know and love. So guys, holla at me, I'ma holla at you. Down in the comments, tell me what you think about getting a new animated feature of Transformers every year. I mean, that could be kinda cool. And do you think that being set in the Michael Bay timeline will help or hurt it? So that's what we gotta do, because we got two people, or well, two beings that we really love in Rocket and Groot. You know I gotta get to that. Next up, and last but not least, is Rocket and Groot. And you guys might not have known this, but Marvel's animated division has been making shorts for Rocket and Groot. It's very comedic based. It's just them in these shorts kind of hanging together in their exploits and jaunts around the galaxy. And I just found out about it recently because there's been some Emmy consideration for an episode that they have called Spacewalk. And now that you have kind of an idea of what it's like, I have to agree that this is some good stuff. I really love these shorts, like the shorts with BB-8 and R2-D2, the stuff that Disney is putting out with Marvel and stuff. I really like these small pieces of story that are really fun, like Forces of Destiny or something like that, but this is completely comedic based and usually something that Marvel doesn't do. So I have to give them kudos for that and kudos for looking so unique. This animation doesn't look specifically close to what Marvel is doing in any other spaces. So I really like it. And before I bounce on this and get your thoughts on one thing, I gotta figure out what you think about the Dream Machine. When I say Dream Machine, I figure we should cue up this song right about now. Man, I love that song. I mean, it's just nice, just like these shorts. These shorts are something that aren't needed, but they're nice to have. There's something to be like, oh, that's cool. I had some fun. I giggled a couple times. I laughed out loud. You can watch it with your kids. It's something that you really, really can enjoy and get into and engage with. So guys, holla at me. I'm gonna holla at you. Down in them comments, let me know what shorts you think from an animated character or from a comic book character in Marvel you think would work on a comedic tip. Like a basically nothing but comedic, you know, timeline, storyline, whatever, but always played up for laughs and jokes. What character do you think would do very well in that? So guys, jump down in the comments. On screen, it's all about TV, movies, that live action, and we gonna get straight to it. Shonda Rhimes has just signed a deal to move from ABC to Netflix. Now, I know a lot of you guys are wondering, like, why am I reporting on this? I usually do like trailers and stuff, but this is a big deal. See, Shonda Rhimes has been rocking with ABC for like 15 years, and homegirl is getting paid, all right? She's getting like 10 plus mil to do her thing and bring Shondaland to all of us. But yo, Netflix got that cheese, because it seems like not only have they realized how wonderful she is, they're calling her a legend. She's like at top form in her game as far as storytelling, but they want to provide her with a new format and some more flexibility to be able to bring her stories to us. So even though she's ending her 15-year run, the shows that are currently on ABC are going to stay there, but she's going to be providing new content for Netflix, which shows just their belief in her talent, their belief in her stories, their belief in her audience to be able to translate very well to Netflix. And the reason is because they've already got episodes of like Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, stuff like that, that are already doing extremely well on the platform. So it's like, why not? So with her being a great addition to the team, having more flexibility to do all kinds of stories, whether it's long form, short form, you know, 30-minute show, maybe an hour-long show, maybe a short film, something like that, who knows? The sky is the limit. And Shondaland, homegirl's got some hits. So from us here at Nerd Soul to you, Shonda, yo, we're excited. I can't wait to see what you make next. Like, you've made some dope stuff. I'm not super big on Grey's Anatomy, but hey, look, I'm just one person. Everybody else love it, so I mean, it's good enough. Anyway, guys, holler at me. I'm gonna holler at you. Down in them comments, let me know what you want Shonda to tackle first in her mini projects that are gonna be coming and her multi-year deal with Netflix. And next up is Ava DuVernay bringing Octavia Butler's first adaption in a series called Dawn. And if you didn't know, Dawn is part of a trilogy of books, and it follows a young Black woman who works with aliens about 250 years after a nuclear holocaust, pretty much, to resurrect the human race. As I've taught you before, you know, just Afro sci-fi, Afrofuturism. I've brought up Octavia Butler's name a couple of times. If you haven't heard about her, she's a sci-fi writer. She's been doing it for a minute. And even though she passed in 2006, her work still lives on. And this will be her first time being adapted to screen. And it seems like a perfect match for Ava DuVernay to bring that story to us. Now, before my question for you guys, I have to remind you that you can find me on Black Hollywood Live. That's right, the first online network for African Americans is super dope. And if you wanna check them out, you can go to blackhollywoodlive.com where they have celebrity interviews, after shows, sports talk, geek, nerd, tech, the whole shebang. And day to day, they have live streams on youtube.com/blackhollywoodlive. So to all my book readers out there that are up on Octavia Butler's work, guys, holla at me, I'ma holla at you. Down in them comments, let me know what book you wanna see, you know, in her storyline next. Do you wanna see it just follow up with the trilogy after Dawn series, or do you wanna see something else that she's written? Because I know about her, but I don't know all of her work. So guys, school me on what's going on, and we're gonna move on to the last thing for the day so you can get your Tuesday on. And next up, and last but not least, is Marvel's Defenders. They dropped a nice little featurette, kinda getting us ready for this Friday. If you didn't know, Marvel's Defenders, which is all the teammates, were from Daredevil to Jessica Jones to Luke Cage to, of course, Iron Fist, are coming together this weekend to battle to save the city of New York. And in this featurette, we get a look into the psyche of all of our characters. It's more about telling us about the characters and where they are and where they're gonna be at the beginning of this show. They also give us a little bit of the dynamics of the good team, the bad team, of course, and it seems like it's gonna be Stick versus Sigourney Weaver's character. And we get more of the hallway sequence where we see more of kind of how it starts a little bit and a couple of different shots and a little, maybe a couple of different angles that we may have not seen before. But all in all, we're getting kind of like a sort of like a catch up of if you've missed these trailers and a couple of, you know, statements from the actors and actresses to kind of get us primed and, you know, informed before we jump into this show and start to binge. Now, speaking of binging, this weekend I will be binging Marvel's Defenders. That's right. Stay up with me Thursday night, Friday all morning. I will be dropping videos. We'll be talking, conversate with your boy, or catch me on demand later during the weekend when you get your binge on, maybe Saturday or Sunday, because I cannot wait to see the show and it better be good. So of course, guys, holla at me, I'ma holla at you. Down in those comments, let me know if you are ready for Marvel's Defenders, or maybe you're just like, whatever. Talk shop. We're continuing that read along of Ghostbusters. That's right, y'all, Ghostbusters Convolution. Today, it looks like the Ghostbusters on a nice little field trip, if you will, a little vacation, a little time off, some R&R. And Pete got to choose the last trip. Egon chose a trip, and this time it's Ray's turn, and Ray wants to go to Independence Con, or Independence Day Con. Either way, it's the 4th of July, and everybody is there talking about comic books, doing their thing, living it up, loving life. And the first thing that Ray wants to do is go see the booth of Frank Bancroft. This is a master artist and illustrator. He has drawn so many characters. He has been the foundation of the comic book industry, and everybody has paid him homage. And Ray wants to go and see the remnants of what used to be, of where this man used to sit, what made him so great, because unfortunately, Frank Bancroft has passed on. Now with his passing, you can definitely see it's all about brotherly love, because Egon, Winston, and Pete are there to support him. So much so that they go to a 2-hour panel, or I think 2.5-hour panel, to support Frank Bancroft and just talk about his work and how much he's done and what he's done for the industry. And while they're sitting there, it just seems to be nothing but boring. I mean, Pete falls asleep, Egon falls asleep, and Winston asks if the guy ever drew any black characters. But at least they get something done while Ray is all googly-eyed over the memory of Frank Bancroft and what he's actually done. And while they're doing their thing, we end up coming across some cosplayers that are dressed like Ghostbusters, and Pete has, he has an axe to grind with him. He's not too pleased to see them wearing his garments, and they say, you can't sue us because we paid $5,000 for this stuff, and this is authentic wear. And even Egon steps in and is like, yo, we never spent that much money on our costumes, so you have to at least give them that. Plus, they were lawyers, so I mean, what was Pete gonna do? But they reel it in. You know, Pete doesn't go to war, but then Ray actually ends up almost going to war over someone who didn't believe that Frank Bancroft was the best illustrator ever and thought that it was all about the writer and that Frank could not do everything on his own, which of course we all know he could. Now, before we get to the craziness, because something does happen, I gotta remind you that you can find me at Black Hollywood Live. That's right, the first online network for African Americans, super dope. And you can find them at blackhollywoodlive.com, where they have celebrity interviews, after shows, sports talk, geek nerd tech, the whole shebang. From day to day with live streams talking about everything on youtube.com/blackhollywoodlive. Now, of course, wherever the guys go, trouble does follow. So during a heated debate with Pete and one of the cosplayers, we end up finding that, well, a god springs up literally in the middle of their conversation. And he wants to be worshiped way more than this Frank Bancroft character because he's real and apparently he's just some human mortal or some past mortal that he doesn't care about. Now, trouble springs up always. The Ghostbusters are prepared. Sort of. See, they didn't bring any of their packs, so this time they have to actually run and figure out what to do while the new god that sprung up named Dorka, don't get me started, it's a dumb name, but hey, springs up, he starts hypnotizing people, forcing them to worship him, and even gets Ray himself. Ray be getting possessed a little too much, but we're gonna move on because we have to save the day. Pete and Winston go one way trying to get their packs and suits back from these cosplayers that think that maybe we can cause a diversion while Egon has a real plan. Because see, Egon picked up on a little PKE reading that shows that maybe Frank's, you know, spirit is somewhere around. And the wonderful thing is that, of course, all you need to do is just insult Frank a little bit and his ghost will show up. And when he shows up, he shows out. Egon gives him the, you know, the rundown. He draws a whole bunch of heroes to come and help. And when they come and help, they are super heroes to the max. Taking it to Dorka in a straight up all out battle royale. I'm telling you, if you bought tickets to the Independence Con or whatever, you got your money's worth. So all in all, the heroes aren't able to do it themselves, but Bancroft is the man. He hulks out and punches a hole in Dorka's soul. And trust me, that dude is obliterated. And sometimes that's just how you gotta do it. Egon used a ghost to bust another ghost. And I mean, I guess, just like that. Makes sense to me, makes sense to you. So guys, you know I gotta give a shout out real quick to, that's right, Jack King Kirby. The ace, the number one, the legendary illustrator who Frank Bancroft was based on. Even his likeness was very similar to Jack Kirby. And, you know, we just want to say from here at Talk Shop to, of course, all the fans that love and miss, that's right, the man Jack King. Yo, man, rest in peace. It is so dope, of course, to see him represented, especially in Ghostbusters, because that's just something fun. So, guys, I want to know, what did you think about this issue of Convolution? For me, the art was not there. It was definitely not there for me. And the team didn't seem right. And what I mean by not seeming right is they didn't look the part, meaning that they just didn't keep enough likeness for me in the characters. And then the way they were written, Winston wasn't really himself, and really Ray neither. Especially there's a sequence with Egon that he just didn't seem like Egon. But of course it's Ghostbusters, so I still had some enjoyment. It's just that Convolution didn't reach that level for me. But guys, of course, jump down in them comments. Let me know what you thought of Ghostbusters Convolution. And before I bounce, I gotta tell you guys that you can now rejoice and celebrate and give a shout out to Jessica DeWitt, who just passed her goal for her Kickstarter. That's right, for Sinistra. It's met its goal. Now they're looking for stretch goals and all kinds of craziness, and it's just a lot of fun. Now, if you're into fantasy, if you're into monsters, if you're into ragtag teams, or if you're into brothers having to like get together and figure out how to live this immortal crazy life, you guys should shoot over to that link down below and check out the Kickstarter for Sinistra. Put down a little coin, get yourself an issue. And we're talking about Naked. All right, before we get started off, straight up, this is gonna be a spoiler review. It's on Netflix. I know it's kind of new, but most people have probably already seen it or decided whether they wanted to watch it or not. So, people that have seen it, let's just talk about this movie. The first thing that I noticed is that Marlon Wayans loves to be naked. Like, even if you look back at the Wayans Brothers show and like other movies he's been in, he always puts being naked as part of his comedy. I don't know what it is. Maybe he just love being butt naked. Sometimes you just gotta be free. You gotta do what you gotta do, man. It's liberating for him. You know what I'm saying? And it's funny. So you take funny and liberation, and that's what you got, because Marlon Wayans is going to be very naked in this film. Like, they are not lying when they say naked. You know how some movies, they might give you a little something in the title and you think you're gonna get a lot of action or maybe a lot of horror or suspense and you don't get a lot of it? Well, in this one, you're definitely in store for a whole bunch of naked. So let's talk about Marlon Wayans' character. He's a very interesting kind of carefree guy, about to get married, seems like everything's all good, but his attitude doesn't seem becoming of someone who should be getting married, at least not right now. And what I mean by play into this is that you have a lot of people that don't like his attitude and his outlook on life, like the family. Regina Hall plays his, wife-to-be, his fiance right now. And of course, her dad is President Palmer himself. And trust me, as the businessman that he is not feeling Rob, AKA Marlon Wayans. I'm gonna just use their names because that's just who they are. So Marlon Wayans is really playing Marlon Wayans in this. And it's interesting to see how far President Palmer may go to kind of maybe not get Marlon Wayans to marry his daughter. Or maybe it's someone else, because inside of the premise, we know that somebody is trying to make sure that this wedding does not happen. And when it comes to those people, one of those people could easily be Loretta Scott King Devine herself, who plays Marlon Wayans' mom. Homegirl is the most singingest / non-singingest lady in the wedding party, because during, you know, the whole, I guess what you would call like the intro, the processional, whatever you want to call for the wedding. I don't know wedding stuff. But bottom line is, she's there at the beginning and homegirl is singing mad Negro spirituals up in that joint while your boy Marlon Wayans is knocked out, drunk, dead, straight sleep inside of an elevator, which of course we see in the trailer, which he keeps waking up in over and over again. And we know that now he's waking up because he can't get right for this wedding. So before we move on, let me remind you that you can find me at Black Hollywood Live. That's right, first online network for African Americans is super dope. And you can find them on blackhollywoodlive.com, where they have celebrity interviews, after shows, sports talk, geek, nerd, tech, the whole shebang-a-bang, daily with live streams on youtube.com/blackhollywoodlive. So of course, we have seen this movie before, you know. The bride and groom show up, then you get like the old flame comes in, and the old flame is the dude in the Navy from Scandal, and he is top quality douche in this. Dude shows up in like a Lamborghini. Of course, he's like everything Marlon isn't, and Regina Hall is kind of like over him, but dude is still trying extremely hard, and so hard that Regina Hall's friend is actually digging him, but he's like, nah, son, I ain't feeling that. So It's just funny to see a premise like this that we've seen tons of times with the slight Groundhog's Day twist. And of course, the Groundhog's Day twist can get a bit overdone, but they find a way to keep it fresh and funny in this, enough to keep you involved. Now, I'm not gonna say that this movie is gonna win any awards by any stretch of the imagination. And there's some times that are extremely silly when this just becomes a Wayans movie. Like, I mean, and I got love for y'all Wayans. All y'all Wayans is like 110 of y'all. Y'all like the Wu-Tang Clan of comedy. But straight up, y'all movies do get to the silliness sometimes. And sometimes this does fall into that where it might, may or may not be enjoyable for you depending on how much you like that type of slapstick comedy. But altogether, this movie, it has enough cameos, it has enough charm on it, and it has, you know, a very like broad general message that we've seen in kind of like these romantic comedies before, where it's like, hey, you know, I'm fast and loose and free, and I gotta kind of like, you know, kind of get my stuff together because I love this woman and I want to marry her. And what we end up seeing is just an interesting journey on how he goes about learning how to be a better man so that he can go on and marry this woman. Now, inside of this, we have a lot of craziness, a lot of comedy, some slapstick stuff, and some, you know, some genuine great, you know, I guess you could say scenes. What do I think about it? Well, I think I'm gonna end up giving this a solid 3. This is a solid 3-star film. It's on Netflix. Should you see it? If you're down with Marlon Wayans and Wayans type comedy, I'd say, yeah, it's definitely for you. You should see it. If you're not into Marlon Wayans, this movie might not make you a believer. But I do think it's entertaining enough to have some fun. You and your lady can watch it, or you and your man can watch it, or, you know, whoever. And just maybe just a group of friends that are just willing to see Marlon Wayans running around naked, screaming, because that's usually what he does. But it ends up coming off with a lot of charm. And the movie at the very end is cute enough to leave you with a good feeling inside. You're like, you know what? I had a good time. You know, this guy, he learned some lessons, and some of the friends learned some lessons, and I'm happy about that. Now, my favorite part before I get out of here is the scene where Marlon Wayans is fighting against the ex-boyfriend. That scene is just gold to me. It comes off very, very, like, genuine, but in a comedic way, and it's not too slapstick. I think it's a lot of fun in that. So, guys, of course, now my question to you is, what is your favorite part of Naked? Holler at me, I'ma holler at you. Down in them comments, let me know what you like, what you didn't like, and of course, your favorite moment. Hopefully, it's not Loretta Devine singing. Even though, girl, you know what I'm saying, you can carry a tune. I'm just saying, the character you were playing, she can't sing. We're talking about Star Wars, we're talking about Thor, we're getting intergalactic, and let's go. Star Wars The Last Jedi director Rian Johnson just laid down yet another interview. And in this interview, he talks about how he had the most fun writing this story. How when he approached it, he was the least scared. Just the excitement level that he had dealing with, you know, of course, Star Wars, the characters, the lore, the story. There's so much to love about it. And he was just so enthralled in just like the world and not really believing that, I'm doing this. Like, I'm doing Star Wars. And it was surprising that he said no. And the reason it seems to be a surprise and no is because, you know, you got Star Wars. Star Wars is a huge, just, you know, monster property. Everybody knows about it. It's big. It's like a religion based on it. Like, everybody loves Star Wars. You love Star Wars. I love Star Wars. We all love Star Wars. And there could be a lot of pressure associated with working on something like that. You know, you don't want to screw it up. But in Rian Johnson's case, he says that, you know, he was working with the story group, that he was able to kind of pitch ideas, and it was a very collaborative effort. And I guess that helped alleviate any problems that he might have had stepping into this world and adding his imprint on our, you know, of course, galaxy of far, far away. Now, before I get to the main reason I brought this article up, let me remind you that you can find me at Black Hollywood Live. That's right, the first online network for African Americans. It's super dope, and you should check it out at blackhollywoodlive.com, where they have celebrity interviews, after show, sports talk, geek, nerd, tech, the whole shebang-a-bang. And you can get live streams daily at youtube.com/blackhollywoodlive. So with this rush of seeing like the effects coming from ILM and everything coming together and the movie getting ready to be finished, you know, from end to end, you wonder to yourself, why is there wasn't any trepidation? Well, it's because Rian Johnson said that he trusted his inner fan. He said that, you know, he used the intuition, the feelings that he had, the excitement that he had, the fervor that he had for this property, and he used that as fuel to go. Now, the reason I brought this up is because a lot of guys in the community of Nerd Soul let me know that they're working on projects. They have Kickstarters here, Kickstarters there, or he's working on this, or they're jumping on a new project there, they're starting development. And a lot of times I hear a lot of you guys at home saying that, well, you know, I don't know, I'm hard, and you second guess yourself a whole lot. So I brought this up as a wonderful example to show that make sure that whatever you're working on, you keep it fun. Make sure that you geek out about your own properties, because if you don't take time to geek out on what you're creating, to love what you're creating, to enjoy what you're creating, you might end up turning it into a chore. And when it becomes a chore, you might not love it as much. So to the like five or six who are watching this, yes, this was a sneaky intervention because you know exactly who I'm talking about. I'm not gonna say any names, but I love the projects that you're working on. You love the projects that you're working on. Just make sure that you don't turn it into something that you loathe. You know what I'm saying? Enjoy it, come to that project all the time with the excitement. Of course, you might have your ups and downs, but remember that you are creating something dope. So of course, guys, holla at me, I'ma holla at you. Down in them comments, let me know what you think we're gonna see from Star Wars: The Last Jedi as far as effects. Do you think we'll see another Grammy? Do you think we'll see another, you know, nod for the Oscars? Do you think we'll get some sound design stuff? Do you think that maybe we'll get a best picture? I don't know. They're saying that this film might be like on some master level-ish. So, and of course, if you're working on a project right now, holler at me down in them comments. Let me know what you're working on. I'd love to see the links. Let me see them. I'd love to see the art, the projects, whatever you got going on. So we're going to move on. And you guys keep working on what you're supposed to be working on. So next up is Thor Ragnarok. And yes, we got a new international trailer. Japan got a new look at what we didn't get a tease of just yet. And that's Doctor Strange. And on the trailer as a whole, these are a lot of shots that we've already seen, and a lot of, you know, images and, you know, I guess sequences that we're already kind of like familiar with. But in this interesting piece, we get a statement of, I see a great change in your future, and destiny has dire plans for you. And my question for you guys is, when you hear this from Doctor Strange and you see him showing up in this movie, how much do you think we're gonna see Doctor Strange in this film? Because I was thinking that we were gonna see Doctor Strange maybe in like a very small part, because we got the after credit sequence and Doctor Strange. I thought this was gonna be a very small part, but this is alluding to something that might be a little more substantial. So with the statement of like, destiny has dire plans for you, what do you think that means for Thor? Now, I know we could say it's directly tying into that movie, but do you think that this means that Thor has a larger responsibility, you know, concerning the galaxy as a whole, you know, concerning all the nine realms? Do you think that this will kind of push him out further than just Asgard or Earth? Do you think this means that he's supposed to be working on a more, I guess, diverse plane of existence, or, you know, either fighting villains that just don't show up in New York? Maybe he's supposed to be doing things out with like Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever. And of course, we've heard about the footage from Comic-Con. But what do you think that has to do with his role as far as, you know, our galaxy goes? And for Doctor Strange, what do you think this means for his character in this movie? And what do you think that means for his character in this setting of, you know, the Marvel kind of like galactic universe. I mean, you have the cinematic, the MCU, they're all in it, but, you know, it seems like he's going to be moving or at least connecting to kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy, Thor, you know, kind of getting out there. So, guys, holla at me. I'm gonna holla at you. Down in them comments, let me know what you think about Thor and Doctor Strange going forward in the MCU and what their responsibilities and roles may be, because I'm very interested to see what you guys think, because what I think is that Thor is probably going to start doing way more diverse stuff away from Earth. But only time will tell. So you got to get your Friday on, and don't forget to check out all of my videos covering, that's right, Marvel's Defenders. I did a binge last night. It was crazy, but I made it. So hit up thatnerdsoul.com. That's right, all my videos are there, from the oldest, newest, latest, greatest, and all that. Then hit up shop.thatnerdsoul.com and pick yourself up a t-shirt player. And don't forget to get one for them playettes. Then come back here, like, comment, subscribe, and share that Nerd Soul. That's right, there's no better way that I can tell people that you like what you are watching. And of course, LA, what up? VA, what up? REA, you got my heart. And please be good to yourselves, be good to each other, and always make sure that you keep what you're working on fun. Peace.